Fun fact, did you know that all gold, the golden bars in your rings and watches, the gold found with pharaohs sitting in pirate ships on the ocean floor, every single gram of gold comes from outer space. Unlike, say, diamonds, which are formed inside the Earth, gold became part of the Earth through meteorite bombardment. There's only a certain amount of gold, and it's all been around since the beginning of time.
Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Walker, the Managing Editor of Money. And today on Friends with Money, I'm talking to our Gold Star journalist, Ryan Johnson, about his feature in our April issue, The Story of Gold. Here at Money, we know that gold has been on an uphill trajectory and is traditionally a safe haven investment in volatile times, like now. But we wanted to do a deeper dive into this ancient metal. Its value, its place in different cultures, its shaping of economies, right through to the practicalities of how you buy and sell this physical asset today. So here to talk about it is Ryan. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Vanessa. It's great to be here.
So tell us about why gold, of all of the elements, is suitable as a currency. And what characteristics does a currency actually need to have?
Yeah, so when we think about money, it has to do a few things quite well. It needs to be durable, portable, scarce enough for it to be valuable, and accepted enough for us to trade with each other. There are 118 elements on the periodic table, and chemistry basically rules most of them out. Like gases and liquids would be too awkward to carry. You'd need to carry around little vials or something. Radioactive elements are radioactive. And many metals react to oxygen or water, which you don't want money fizzing or popping every single time you try and use it or it rains. The common workhorse metals have issues too, like iron rusts, copper goes green, and if they're abundant, you need a lot of weight to store its real value. So that leaves only a few what we call noble metals, and silver is close, but it's softer than gold and it tarnishes over time. But gold, it's scarce, but not too rare. It's easy to shape and it's chemically stable, most importantly. And it survives centuries of handling and reminting. But most of all, I guess that the real allure of gold is that it's beautiful.
Wow, a noble metal. Okay, so gold is a great physical currency. It doesn't rust, corrode, or vanish. It's virtually indestructible. How much we have is how much we've always had. So how much gold actually exists in the world?
So the World Gold Council estimates last year there is about 219,000 tons of gold that have been mined throughout human history. And like you say, it's virtually indestructible and almost all of it still exists in one form or another. So that sounds like a lot, like a very massive amount, 219,000 tons. But if you were to stack it all together into one cube, it would only be 22 meters on each side. That doesn't sound that big when you think about it like that. So it also shows the heaviness of gold.
Wow. So let's talk broadly about how gold has shaped Australia and how Australia has been shaped by gold. Take us back to the gold rush days.
Yeah, so the gold rush really started in Australia in 1851, where flecks of gold were found near Bathurst. And that's really what lit the fuse to this discovery of gold in Australia and ignited the gold rush. Victoria, though, quickly outpaced New South Wales as new findings were found in Ballarat and Bendigo. And by the end of the 1850s, Victoria was producing over a third of the world's gold. And to turn the raw metal, though, into trusted money, the Sydney Mint needed to be established, and later the Perth Mint as well. The Sydney Mint opened in 1855, which was around the time where this gold rush really became into fruition. So people started pouring in. Roughly 500,000 what we call diggers arrived from across Australia and overseas, from China, from Germany, from England, from all over the world. And the population jumped from 430,000 in 1851 to 1.7 million 20 years later. So it just shows how many people poured into the craze about gold at the time. And also, gold reshaped politics at the time. You got the Eureka Stockade about gold miners' rights, which reshaped Australian politics from then on.
Now, globally, currencies were once routinely pegged to gold. How did that work and why did it change?
Yeah, so long stretches of human history, currencies were tied to gold. So a note wasn't just a promise, but it was a receipt. So if the government said $20 equaled an ounce of gold, for example, you could, in theory, literally turn that paper into metal. It meant our money was actually backed by something, and it tied politicians' hands so they couldn't just print their way out of problems, which you currently see in the system now through quantitative easing, it's called. In Australia, that link, though, between gold and currency began to end in 1929 as the Depression deepened and governments needed more money, and the amount of gold wasn't enough to fund our problems, essentially. Then came the Bretton Woods system, where the US dollar was tied to gold and everyone else was tied to the US dollar. And that held until 1971, when the US shut the gold window, as it was called, and severed the last meaningful link between major currencies and gold. And here we sit now with our fiat currency, our paper money, that's backed just by vibes, really.
All right. But gold still has a big role in central bank reserves. Tell us about how much gold the Reserve Bank of Australia holds and some of the quirks of that holding.
Yeah, so last year, central banks bought 863 tonnes of gold, according to State Street. And that was the 16th year central banks were net buyers of gold. So if you're thinking about investing in gold, it's a massive demand underneath the market where central banks are just buying tons and tons of gold, bringing up that demand. Europe are the old heavyweights of this. So Germany, Italy, France, Poland was actually the biggest buyer last year, and they bought it for geopolitical reasons, they said. But it's nothing compared to the United States, which holds over 8,133 tons of gold, more than the next three combined. The Reserve Bank of Australia is a complete minnow comparatively. It only holds 80 tons of gold, and the last time we bought any gold at all was in 1997. However, this is still worth over $18 billion that we're just sitting on. And we're not actually sitting on it. Most of it is in the central bank in London. Only four gold bars sit in Sydney.
That is so unusual.
I know, right? I don't know why we do that. I think it's more to do with the fact that gold is more traded from London than it is in Australia, but we just kept four just in case.
Okay, so moving to the value of gold and how to invest, what kind of price is an ounce of gold these days and which direction is gold's value heading in?
Well, as of this morning, the gold price was $7,171 per ounce. And this is down from the record high of nearly $8,000 on March 1st. So that shows how volatile it can be right now. It's nearly dropped $800 in 2 weeks, basically. But it also shows the massive amounts that it has grown. Like, it's been growing, like, only a couple of years ago, it was only under 4,000. And now look at it, it's nearly doubled that. And most analysts say that this is because of, you know, the Middle Eastern conflict that's going on right now. A prolonged conflict in the Middle East is said to support safe haven assets like gold. Yeah, and many, many analysts see it hitting new highs over the coming months. Like, some say by the end of the year, it's going to hit $10,100 by January.
Now, let's help our readers who may have some gold jewellery they want to sell or they want to buy gold. How does it actually work?
Yeah, so in the article, I talked to a gold and jewellery dealer called First Gold, and they're based in Sydney. And they say that people are lining up to sell all kinds of different things, from rings, necklaces, bracelets, diamond jewelry, and even silver cutlery sets. But before you walk into a gold dealer, it's best to just work out the basics, the carat and weight. So gold is priced by purity and grams, not by what you originally paid or how sentimental the piece is, unfortunately. So if you look up the gold price before you go, even if you know that won't be the price that you get, because the gold dealers need to make some money too, at least it gives you a ballpark of what you're looking at. And in Australia, gold buying is generally pretty good compared to other types of metals, compared to diamonds. That is a lot more volatile. though it's worth looking around and comparing quotes between multiple different gold dealers. There's a few in most major cities. Lastly, I would say mail-in services. Like, you can basically put it in an envelope and mail it in. And that might be a lot easier than actually physically waiting in line and selling your gold. But it's worth checking the fine print. Some charge hefty fees, even if they reject your offer, even if it's not good enough for them. And others are less clear about what happens if an item is lost in transit. You don't want to just be losing gold to Australia Post.
Yeah, I'd say that parcel insurance is important there, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right.
All right. So if a person doesn't want to physically trade in gold, investors can look at gold ETFs. What's available in that sector?
Yeah, so for people who want exposure to the gold price without having to store the metal, exchange-traded funds are the easiest route, ETFs. They can be bought and sold like shares, which makes them simple to hold inside a broader portfolio. Now, you can even invest in the gold mining industry itself. Like, Global X's Gold Miners ETF is up over 40% in the 12 months to March. And more gold miners are expected to list on the ASX this year, which I also talk about in the upcoming issue. But the trade-off is really ownership. It's an ETF gives you exposure to the gold price, but gold bars and coins gives you the actual physical metal itself, which is part of the allure of gold.
Yeah, and a very ancient appeal.
Exactly right.
That's great, Ryan. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great.
This has been your Friends with Money podcast, and we've been talking about a story in our April issue, The Story of Gold, and that's on sale now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.